you know, some people need like that soft inner voice, like, you can do it, you got this, like small victories. Some people just like to wake up and be like, don't be a bitch today, let's go to the gym, let's get done. Like, some, we function different. And like, I like reading David Goggins books. I like that harsh, I've never gone into the military, I don't have any family in the military, but like, I'm always drawn to that like harsh military type of discipline. Let's do this, let's get it done. And then people just like, I'm from the same exact parents as my sister. My sister cannot function with a harsh inner voice. She needs someone soft. She needs like encouraging little notes throughout the day and like a soft inner voice that's like, okay, you went out and you planned 7 miles today, you only did a 5K, it's fine, you did great, you put your shoes on, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
And then some people do better with, you are not going to finish at this 5K, you're going to continue doing the 7 miles, and they thrive like that. But if you try and force that other person that needs that like softer inner voice, you know, they might crumble and then they might give up running or something. Like, we all, you got to find your flow. And that's why it's like, it's hard in this health and fitness area. Well, I say it's hard, but it's also more of a blessing that there's so many people out there. But you got to find, you got to be careful who you listen to. You got to find who you like. You got to understand not everyone out there is going to be the same vibe as you. So that's why it's fun. You get to go out and you get to find the people that inspire you and motivate you, the people that have the training styles that you like and all that kind of stuff.
I'm Ren McDonald, and this is The Hope Initiative, a show dedicated to learning about humans on planet Earth, where I speak with everyday people to find moments of success and struggle in their life to help inspire hope in yours.
Hello and welcome to The Hope Initiative. My name is Ren McDonald. Thank you for joining me for another episode, number 116, with Ryder Langley. Came across Ryder online on Instagram late last year, and we struck up a friendship and had a conversation about her life. She's someone who gets after it each and every day, inspires me when I get on Instagram. I love seeing her videos and her stories, full of energy always. We chatted her life thus far as a 25-year-old, a big period of that time being spent in the pool, but now her obsession is in running. And yeah, as I said, it's absolutely great to see. It was so much fun to have this conversation with her, one of many to come, I'm sure. Hope you all enjoy. Cheers. Ryder Langley, welcome to The Hope Initiative.
I am happy to be here, Ryan.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here. We got through some few technical issues there at the start with downloading of Zoom, a bit of time zone issues, but we are, yeah, talking today via Zoom. It is 10 to 6 in the morning, Tuesday for me, and can you let people know, I think you're in Alabama.
Alabama.
What time is it there for you?
It is 12:48, so mid-afternoon, lunchtime.
Beautiful. Well, yes, as I said, thank you for joining me. We met via Instagram. I had a look before we started this call. I think it was August 17th or 16th of August that I sort of started following you. You have a great Instagram feed, just high energy, always sharing things that you're up to, which is, you know, something that I love, looking out for interesting people to talk to on this podcast. You definitely stuck out to me. And yeah, we just struck up a friendship back then. I didn't even originally ask, you know, hey, would you like to come on the podcast? It was only until recently. But yeah, you are constantly sharing that you love listening to podcasts. You're sharing things about your life. So I'm stoked to pick into it a little bit today and learn more.
Well, it was funny because I was telling my sister I was going to be on this Zoom call with you, and she was like, what are y'all going to talk about? And I was like, I don't know. But like, I've went back to some of your episodes, and it's like, I like how you don't, it's not just a health podcast or like a fitness podcast. It's like, you kind of find the people and it's not tailored to something specific. You kind of just like, you know, go around and find their niche and then you run with their thing. So it's like you get wisdom from all kinds of different people with all this different experience. And I was like, I don't know what he's going to think, because it's funny. I like to think, like, what do people see? Like when you think of Coconut Rider from my Instagram,
yeah.
What do you, everyone has, you know, their different views on other people. So like, it's fun to see, what am I in their eyes? Am I like the runner girl, or am I like the juice person? Cause I used to have that like juicing Instagram. Yeah. So it's just fun to see like what you are in other people's eyes when they don't have the full story of you. But that's kind of cool that your podcast brings out those full stories and these little 1 hour clippets of people you find interesting.
Yeah, no, thank you for saying that. It's nice for you to reflect on that. I just go where the interest is for me. I think that's a good way to live. And yeah, I think now that you mentioned the juicing, is that's one of the, I think, reasons that I found you on Instagram, the algorithm throwing up people. What's her name? Andrea? Juice by Dre? Follow her on Instagram? Yeah, so I followed her like a bit over a year ago now, it would have to be, and I've had her on the podcast, but it took a little while for her to come on, but then, you know, you start engaging more with that person, and yeah, the algorithm, I guess, throws up similar people. So you were doing far more juice content back in the day. I mean, you still love to throw up a smoothie every now and again.
I told you before, I don't know if we were like recording at this point, but like I have a very obsessive personality, like a extreme personality. I feel like you probably know a lot of people, you might be somebody like this in the whole fitness, you know, getting into ultras and triathlons. You kind of have to have like a little extremist in you to want to go out and conquer these kind of things.
Yeah.
But like I've always had this, I get obsessed about a certain topic or like an interest or a hobby, and I'll go like full force for like 2 months, reading books, listening to all the podcasts, the YouTubes, anything I can find on like this certain topic.
Yeah.
And I basically let it like become who I am, and I eat, live, and breathe this one thing. And juicing was that for like a while.
Yeah.
It's really fun. I'm not saying like I don't like that about myself, because it's actually one of like my most favorite traits about myself. I like how I just dive into stuff and like get it going.
Yeah.
And just, I don't let things hold me back. If I'm interested in something, then I go full force at it. But juicing was that. I was like a juicer, I guess you would say, like some sort of micro juicer influencer on Instagram for like 2 years. It was really fun because, you know, you got the healthy vibes and the fun music and bright colors and all this stuff. It's all positivity. But I really loved it because I found like a ton of these like great pen pals and people I'm connected with and like friends with, still all from like this juicing world.
Yeah, that's so good. Mm-hmm. I love that you go
Dre
all in
is one
on
of
it.
Those people.
Yeah, she is.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's amazing. So you just met her as well online, just chatting away, pen pals.
Yeah. It's weird because like you go into, it's like, I don't know. Instagram has this weird, like these worlds. I'm sure you have like the little fitness running world you're kind of in, or triathlon world. And it's weird because you go into these little communities and you find all these people, and it's just, yeah, like juicing had its own little world inside of Instagram. Yeah. It's like a place you could just go and you connect with people all over the world. And it was just really cool because now like I keep up with people on the daily that I found through juicing, even though I'm not like, I don't call myself a juicer anymore. I barely get my juicer out. Wow. But I mean, it got me in touch with a ton of people that are super cool. And now we are like besties over an app.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah, it's so cool. I think that's how you should use the internet, is like to connect with people, to create things, find things. You're saying, you know, you're looking things up on YouTube. It's great.
Yeah.
It's a great way to use it. I love it. By the way, who's the friend we have here today?
This is Etta. This is my Etta. Baby girl. And I got her whenever I moved out of my parents' house when I was like feeling lonely, just got into college and all that stuff. And so this is her. This is Etta. She's
hey,
like
Etta.
Basically a little miniature me. I feel like she loves, she's exactly like me in dog form. She loves the sunshine. She likes going out and running. She loves snuggling.
I love it.
Yeah, she's a sweetie pie.
What breed is she?
I really don't know because I got her from a shelter and they said she was like lab, but
yeah.
But she's definitely got some other stuff in her. Yeah, she's lab like cross she's something. Got the big mouth like a pit bull does.
Mm.
And I don't know. I feel like every single day she looks a little different.
So good. Well, lovely to have Etta here as well. All right. So I guess from now, I would love to know, and how I normally like to start the things with strangers, even though we've done a lot of talking online and these sorts of things. I know a little bit about, you know, your life, little bits and pieces here and there. But I would love to know, starting with your earliest memory, Ryder, if you could share with us that and bring us forward to present day. We're recording this in January 2023. Let me get that right. Okay. 2023.
Earliest memory of my, like, inside my brain, my earliest memory?
Inside your brain, inside the body, fibers, whatever memory comes to mind.
Wow. You're hitting a sweet spot because I love my early memories. It was just like, I have three sisters, and growing up in Alabama, I don't know what the stereotype, I mean, I kind of have an idea of what the stereotype is, but I freaking love Alabama. It is amazing. My earliest memories are probably like summers just running around with my three sisters. And I loved our childhood, especially back then. I feel like it's totally different now with the way like safety for kids and all that. But we used to get on our bike and we would just go bike around town and find creeks to jump in and lakes to swim in. And we would just, you got to be home before dark.
Yeah.
That was the rule. Like there was no phone or tracking or texting your parents. You could just drive up, well, roll up into your friend's like driveway. Hey, you want to go on a bike ride? And then you're just all day adventuring with your best friends. That's probably my earliest memories is just summer times going out with my sisters. And also we were all swimmers. I was a swimmer for like 15 years.
Wow.
And so in the summertime, we had practice like 8 a.m. at 8 to 10. And then our house was only a block away from the pool. So we would walk home, we would swim in our own pool. And then at 3 p.m., we had to be back for swim practice again. Wow. So we'd walk around the block, go back to swim practice, hang out with friends. Some friends would walk home with us and have dinner. Like it was just, it was a beautiful childhood. And I am just blessed to have, you know, loving parents and a childhood like that, because I know for the longest time until I hit college, I didn't even like think a childhood could like be different than that. That's all I knew.
Yeah.
And my parents did a great job of having a positive image of like family and childhood and all that. So, I mean, I didn't know anything else, but now that I do, I'm very like thankful that that's my reality.
Yeah. That's great. Sounds like a great childhood. So three sisters and loving parents. Where do you fit in the order of those girls, four girls?
I'm the third.
Third. Brilliant.
Yeah. Peyton, Presley, Ryder, Tate.
Peyton, Presley, Ryder, Tate. Love it. And what's the age gap?
2 years each.
Oh, perfect.
Like 2 years almost perfectly in between each child.
Yeah, nice. Do you have a favorite or like what was the dynamic like between you and the sisters? Because I'm the eldest of seven kids. Boys and girls, bit of a mix. But yeah, my younger brother, Daniel, is 2 years younger than me. And we're like best mates now. We actually live together.
Yeah.
But yeah, what's your relationship like with your sisters?
Well, Ren, I don't have friends. I don't have many friends because my sisters have been those best friends in my life. Like we are all very close and I love it. And they're my best friends. And it kind of throughout the years, it's been different. Like we're like gotten closer with the older one at some point, Peyton. And then sometimes I was the bestie. Being a middle child, you said you're the oldest, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't know that dynamic as much, but like in the being a middle child, you kind of got to be that teeter totter one that goes back and forth. But I would say definitely I'm closest with my youngest sister, Tate.
Nice. That's cool. And you live with your parents still at home, or you mentioned going to college. Like, when you go to college in the US, I know for most people it seems like they move away from home. I don't know if, what it's like you come back, but yeah, what's that like?
Well, as soon as I graduated high school, I moved out. And so since my sisters and I are all so close, we all got a house together, which was nice. So for like 2 years right out of high school, I was living with my two oldest sisters while the youngest still lived at home. And then, you know, throughout time, it's just like one sister might have moved out and got her own apartment and then come back. And right now I'm living with my sister, and she just got married, so now her husband has moved in. So it's my youngest sister, Tate, her husband, and me and Etta.
Amazing.
In the house we're in right now. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. And is this in the, this is where you grew up in Alabama?
Yeah, it's still in Prattville. It's not at the same house. So my parents live like a few blocks away, but we all live within like a 5 mile radius of each other.
Amazing. That's so cool. Uh-huh. So it's fair to say then that family is obviously pretty important to you. What was like life like growing up with them, family? You mentioned, you know, being able to go on bike rides and just that, I guess, less technology sort of lifestyle. But yeah, I'd be interested to know, and a lot of people listening to this probably maybe have never been to Alabama. The only thing I really know about it is the song, which is super cliche. I don't know. That's just me being on the other side of the world in Melbourne, Australia. But yeah, tell me about that.
Very nostalgic. I loved it. I could go on and on and on now about like technology and all of that, but I count my blessings every single day not to have grown up with phones in our hands, TikTok, Instagram. As much as I love Instagram and connecting with people, I'm so freaking thankful that I did not grow up with like social media, because oh my gosh, I feel like you can't be a child anymore.
Yeah.
Like you can't just go out. And my childhood was like, it was like an unspoken rule in my house. If the sun is out, you are not to be inside. You are to be barefoot outside, climbing trees, finding a creek to catch minnows, catch frogs, you know, like go cause some freaking chaos somewhere, like do something. And now I feel like there's definitely a thing with like safety now, of course. So I'm not trying to say like, I know how to parent. I'm not a child or anything. I mean, I don't have a child or anything. I am a child basically. And so I'm not saying that, I don't want to feel like I think I know what I'm talking about, but kids need to go outside on their bike. They need to go, you know, make mistakes. They need to go get in a little bit of trouble. They need to have curiosities. And now I feel like kids are just given a tablet and they don't get to let any of this stuff out. Like they just continue to swipe their finger and scroll, and their attention spans are now like 7 seconds. Like, yeah. Did they even get to go out and learn like new hobbies or interests, or are they just being fed this stuff and told what they need to think, what they need to do? I don't know, but I loved that we just all got to go out. Me and my sisters, I'm sure you were the same having so many siblings, but it's like each kid has their own unique little things they're interested in. And not only was it fun to go out and let your curiosities run wild, but like getting to see my sister get into her different hobbies and like throw herself at different things. And it's just fun. And I don't know if I'm just so far away from like kids now that I've grown older and I don't have kids around me to know what their lifestyles are like now, because maybe they do go out and play. I don't really know. But from what I see, it's like Instagram is everything. Being an influencer now is like their dream, when our dreams used to be a marine biologist and a vet and a firefighter. Now all the kids want to be are like YouTube influencers and all this stuff. But yeah, I don't know if I answered your question, but I was climbing trees and catching minnows and just having a freaking good time with dirt on my hands and on my feet, and just bless. I don't know. I feel really nostalgic about it.
It's awesome. I think you're right in saying it's blessed and having that opportunity. And yeah, you're right. I think just because you don't have kids doesn't mean you can't talk from experience about what you went through and now what you observe. I think it's totally fair. You know, I have a sister who's 15 years younger than me. She's 15, turning 16 later this year, which is wild. And, you know, she's grown up on social media more than I have. But I remember even for me, yes, we didn't have phones when I was growing up, but I've still participated in like playing like the PlayStation quite a bit or playing on computer, but I was outside more than that. And yeah, into my hobbies and into those things. So I feel like just because, you know, I don't have kids now, it doesn't mean I can't also observe that. I see some kids in the neighborhood that I live in when I go out for walks, they're out running and doing these things. There's actually three boys who live across the road. They seemingly are always doing laps of the block, which is amazing. Their dad must be just flogging them to train them for something. I love that you said you spent like in the summer, what, like 4 hours a day swimming, like it's swim practice, and then you'd come home and be swimming as well. You must you must be an amazing swimmer.
We were basically known as like the fish family in our town because all we did, we stayed in the water. Yeah. We woke up, went to swim practice, came home, like dragged some friends around the block with us to come back home, and we'd swim all day. And then we went back to swim practice. Wow. And then we do it all over again for 3 months out of the year, the whole entire summer. And it was amazing.
That's so rad. I love that. Did you have like this love for it, or was it something that like your parents encouraged you to do? Like what got you all involved in swimming? And did you ever aspire to like swim at the Olympics or something like that?
I definitely love swimming. I think all like my parents weren't swimmers. But my parents always were active, but I don't really know what got us into swimming, but all three of my siblings and I swam. So it was a family of four girls and we were all swimmers and we were all pretty good swimmers. I mean, if you're putting in 4 hours a day, you gotta get some skills in there somehow.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were all pretty good swimmers. And I remember just loving it. I loved every second of it. Of course, thinking back now, you wish you can go back and just love it more than you did. But I really don't even know if that was possible because even at the time, I was obsessed with it and loved going to swim practice. It was just fun because you have all your friends around you, you're swimming laps, you feel good. You know, it was great. And I loved it. And my sister went to college for swim and I actually went and toured, I don't know what you call the weekend where like a coach invites you up there to spend time with the swimmers and see if maybe you want to swim there, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I just decided like I don't think swim was like for me in college. I don't think I was quite fast enough to make it like a serious thing for me outside of high school.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely could have like pushed it, but I don't know. I felt like after 15 years of swimming, I didn't know if like the passion was still there to like really push myself through a college career in swim.
Yeah.
So I just decided, nah, I'm not going to do that. And it was funny because as soon as I graduated high school and stopped swimming competitively, that's what like caused me to have this like little, not emptiness in my life, but of course, whenever I'm doing, let's say, 3 hours a day for stuff like 20 plus hours a week from swim, and that's taken away from me immediately, then it's like, whoa, I've been alive for 18 years and I've filled all my free time up with swimming. Now what am I going to do? And that's when I started running and became obsessed with running because I was like, I have all this endurance training already up. I love cardio. I swim all the time. But now, like, I didn't have those set swim practices. So I started running instead and became obsessed with running.
Amazing. So hang on, you did that. You basically took up running when you finished swimming, which was when you like went to college.
Immediately.
Wow. Yeah. So I don't even, I think I might have known, we might have talked about it. But how old are you now then?
I just turned 25 last month.
That's right. I did. I wish you, I'm pretty sure, happy birthday. Yes. So 25. So you've been running for 7 years.
Yes. But the thing is, with my like running journey, it has not been linear at all. I became obsessed with running. Here comes my like obsessive personality again. So as soon as I quit swim, I got into running and became obsessed. It was like my identity. I was the runner girl around town. I was constantly going on runs, and I never even signed up for an event, but I was putting in 40 miles a week.
Wow.
Just because I was in love with running, and every single day I would just get up and like, that's what I look forward to that day is my run. And I didn't dive in deep enough to even know like the running culture and that like I could go sign up for a marathon. I had no idea. I was just passionate about running. So I just laced my shoes up and I'd go.
Wow.
And then after like a year and a half, 2 years, I got an injury, and it definitely could have been prevented. But since I wasn't like full, like reading all the running books and like running YouTubes, and I was just going out and running, so I wasn't super smart about it. And I think I just like upped my miles or was pushing my body a little too hard, and like wasn't stretching probably as good as I needed to. And so I got a stress fracture in my leg. Yeah. And it put me out for a little while.
Yeah, right. Where'd you get the stress fracture? Was it in like your shin or something?
Yeah, it was on my right leg, the side of my shin of my right leg.
Like the tibia, tibialis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not fun. How long did it keep you out for?
Well, technically the injury itself, probably a few months, but that's, now we're getting into some deep stuff, Ren, because that's when, okay, so I've been a cardio junkie my whole life.
Yep.
I've been into endurance sports. I've never had a period of time where like I didn't have something I had my mind completely like focused on. So then I get a stress fracture and I have to completely put everything on hold. And this is the first time since I'm probably 5 years old that I've had nothing like to do, basically.
Yeah. Wow.
Like physical wise, I'm a very physically driven person. I like accomplishing physical tasks. And so now I get an injury and I'm out, and I kind of went into like this depression. It was like a really dark, sad time in my life, but it was like definitely pivotal for like who I came out to be on the other side. But that's also like a weird thing for me, is because I don't ever talk about it, because I just feel like there's a lot of people that go through a lot of stuff, and then I end up thinking, oh, my thing doesn't compare. Like, you got an injury and it took you out of running. Like, don't be so dramatic about it. But it is a big thing when you're 20 years old and your whole entire life you've trained for stuff, and then out of nowhere you got to just sit back and you don't know what's gonna happen after that.
Totally. How did you get through it, if you don't mind sharing about it? I mean, I'm sure it's come through already in the conversation, but you're such a positive person. Like, but just because someone's positive doesn't mean they can't be like introspective and have quiet moments and do all these things. But like, for you, what was that period like, and how did you get through it? Or was it just like this period of feeling shit for a few months whilst nothing happened, like whilst you couldn't run, and then when you got back, your identity is, yeah, cardio, working hard and getting after it every day. What was that life, or what was that period like, and yeah, how did you get out of it?
It was rough, because I had become obsessed with running, and through running, you know, I shed some weight, because when I was a swimmer, you know, the typical swimmer body, you're muscular, you have upper body strength. But I also like had some mass on me. Like, I was a pretty muscular girl when I was in high school. And so like when I started running, I shed all of that like extra muscle off and became this more like leaner person. And with this like extreme personality, and like now I saw myself as this runner, and then getting an injury and I no longer can run. So like, I felt like my identity in a way was like taken away from me because I no longer could run. So all I could do was like do school work and eat basically is what I felt like I was just doing every single day. And so it just like made me feel so bad and down in the dumps and I'm losing like my leanness because I can't run. And then I was like, what am I? I was a swimmer. I was a runner. And now what am I doing? And it was just really rough. And so, but I knew I had to let that heal before I could do anything. And so after a few months of just basically like focusing on school and just kind of, it wasn't a fun time, but I was just pushing through it because I just had hopes like, okay, one day the injury is going to be gone and you can put your mind to something and train for something. And so then I started going to the gym and I didn't want to start like running too much because I didn't want the pressure on my leg to cause any kind of injury again. So then that's when I started getting into like these chapters where I would get really invested into like weight training. And here's the thing that like kind of brought me to where I am now. So this was probably when I was 20 years old. I'm 25 now. So for the past, like from 20 to 24, I was like a frog hopping around on lily pads in a pond. Like I'd go to weightlifting and I would devote 2-5 months to weightlifting. I'd be like, do I want to be a weightlifter? I'd start gaining all this muscle and I'd be like, do I really like this? And then I would go and be like, nah, Ryder, you've always loved cardio. So then I would go over and start running again. And then 5 months into it, my leg would start hurting and I would get scared because I was like, oh, there's that stress fracture again. So then I would hop to another lily pad and I'd be like, okay, I'm going to get really into HIIT workouts. So I'd do HIIT. And so then it was just like constantly hopping around instead of committing to one thing. Now 5 years have gone by and I could have done every single thing I wanted to do if I just committed 1 year of my life to that one thing. And I could have already accomplished all five. But now I'm hopping around to all these different things and not focusing on one. And now I'm finally 25 years old and I'm like, Ryder, stick to running. And I've signed up for races and I have a marathon I'm training for. And I'm like, you know what? You're going to do it. And so now I'm telling myself, stay on this lily pad. And I'm completely obsessed with running right now. And I'm hoping it's not like a phase because in the past, it wasn't phases as much as it was. I kept hopping away because the injury would like, I'd start feeling some tension in my bone or in my leg and I'd be like, I'm a little scared. So then I'd jump to something else. But now I'm like, I started running again in August, September.
Yeah.
And it's January. So I think we're doing pretty well. I've had some like feelings in my shin, but I pushed through it. And I think it was just like me psyching myself out. Like a little tiny pain was causing me to like freak out and think, I don't want to push it because then you're going to be out and not going to be able to run ever. So go to weightlifting, go to powerlifting, go do something. But it could have been just a little tiny shin splint or something that freaked me out and I just ran away with it.
For sure. It's interesting hearing you talk about all of it because the obsessive personality, which I definitely want to find out more about where you think that originated. But whilst we're just on the running for the time being, you're going out and running, not just like 1 or 2 miles. You literally go out and run like 12, 13 miles. Like you're doing like half marathons already. I say already, you've obviously been doing it for a little while, but this isn't just like a short, quick run around the block. I mean, maybe the blocks in Alabama are massive, but, you know, you're going out for hours and very early as well, all right?
Yeah. Well, it's weird actually like stopping and like noticing that or being told that because in my brain, it's just... it's not me like going out and running 12 miles, but when you say it, I'm like, wow, Ryder, that is like, I'm proud of you because I don't stop and think like, I feel like if I stop and relax and think about it, I might jump to something else like I have in the past. So I'm like, for some reason, my brain just keeps rolling. And I'm like, don't stop and think, just what's on the calendar? What's your next run? Just keep going, don't give up. And so like for so long since August, I'm just like, keep going. And I haven't just stopped to be like, okay, Ryder, you're fine. You're not going to jump to something else. Like you have stuck to it this long. You can be proud of yourself. You can clap for yourself. Like, we're good. Mm. You're fine. Yeah. But yeah, 2 days ago was my longest run yet in my training cycle for the marathon. And it was 12 miles, but I kind of miscalculated it and had to run back to my car. So it was like 13 miles. So I basically hit my first like half marathon without knowing, but yeah, I'm proud of myself, but I don't stop to like think that sometimes.
It's great. Like the fact that you can just go out and do that. I remember my first longer distance run was only a few years ago as well. And I've grown up playing soccer. So maybe a parallel to you in terms of like your first 15 years of swimming. Mine was soccer. Obviously a lot of running in soccer for anyone who's seen it played. You know, I'm sure most people have at least seen it. But you're constantly running. But I'd never really run long distance either. And so running a half marathon is big. Running even like 10 kilometers, which I think is maybe, what, like 6.5 miles, that's a big deal as well. So I think the fact that you're just going out and doing it, having had these injuries, it's really cool. And all I'd say on the lily pad thing, not that I'm an expert in any sense, but, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong necessarily with being good at still like being strong, right? Like lifting weights or preparing the body for that, I think is a big part of it. And I don't know what your like programming is like now. Like you mentioned when you started, you just went out and didn't even know you could join up with these like crews or maybe get a coach or even just like, you know, run a marathon. But all I'll say is, yeah, knowing some people who are some very good runners, like the preparation is key and making sure that, yeah, your body is, you know, strong, because, you know, 42 kilometers, 26 miles is like a big amount. But I think you look like you're absolutely killing it. You're hooked up in your gear, your hooker gear, you know. You're flying, girl. So yeah, I'm looking forward. When is the marathon? When's that on the calendar?
The beginning of May.
Beautiful.
And the thing is, that's kind of funny because So my half marathon is an actual event. Like I paid to enter this half marathon. It's in North Alabama and it's kind of cool because the last mile is through a cavern. So like I get to run through this cave for the last mile. Wow. And that's fun. And so I didn't have an idea of running a marathon, but then I started training for my half and I was like, I think I started training for it and it was like a 16 week plan and I'm on week 2. And I'm just like going through the motions and somehow I started just running more miles and stuff and becoming more just passionate about running and going out. And all of a sudden I'm like on technically week 14 of this plan when I'm not supposed to be. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm almost running a half marathon already.
Yeah.
Let me just go ahead and train for a marathon. And so I go online and like looking for these marathons to sign up for. But if I run the half in March, it's like March 17th or something like that. So then I gave myself like a month and a half after to finish training for like a full marathon. Mm. And there's none around here in this area because I guess they assume it's going to be too hot at that point, like around May.
Yep.
So I would have to like go somewhere up north. I don't feel like doing that. I want to go down to Pensacola or like Florida and run next to the beach. So I'm just training for a marathon and around like, I haven't completely set the goal. It's going to be like the first weekend of May or second weekend of May. I'm going to book me an Airbnb and I'm just going to go run 26 miles on the coast.
Yeah, girl. I love that.
I'm just going to do it.
Yeah, that's going to be rad. I'm looking forward to hearing and seeing how it goes because yeah, I've never run a marathon in an event before. Like I've done it like with mates, just, you know, starting obviously early in the morning is probably the best. You don't want to be running in the heat of the day. But yeah, I think running an event would be very cool. I did, however, we were messaging about it at the time. I was in Texas last year. I did a half Ironman and preparing and training for that was amazing. It was around the time that I started training for that we started chatting on Instagram. And I think it's just like transformed me and like the training and the preparation for that. It seems like you've always been training for life, training for the swimming. You know, I'm sure you're probably up quite early when you were younger as a swimmer, even though you might have been getting in the pool in the summer at, say, what, 8 a.m., which, I mean, is still quite early. But now you are up at like 4 a.m. every day, seemingly. You say you sleep in some mornings, you're still up at like 5:30. It's phenomenal. Yeah. Like, you must obviously be going to bed quite early to still be getting good sleep. But, like, that discipline or that, you know, obsessive personality that you've sort of talked about, where do you think that came from? And is that something that has always been there? Is that there with your sisters as well? I'd love for you to share more about that and where you think that came from.
So growing up where our family was athletic, it was really nice because my mom actually used to be a runner. She's run about 8 to 10 marathons whenever she was like having her little running career.
Wow.
And so growing up, I'm 5 or 6 years old and I'm waking up to her coming up the driveway doing her, oh, it just logged 17 miles.
Wow.
And yeah, so that was me and my sister would go out on the porch right when we woke up and we'd wait 30 minutes because we knew she'd be coming down the street at some point. So like we're cheering for mama. And then my dad was a basketball player. So he was always, you know, taking the kids to school, going to work. On his lunch break, he would go like play a game of basketball with his friends and then hit back at work and then pick the kids up. So it's like just seeing them and how they prioritize their health and being active was a nice like image for us to think, okay, if you prioritize it, you can make it happen no matter what. Like, so it was nice being able to be raised in a family where I get to watch my parents prioritize themselves and know like, okay, my mom has her passion of running. She's going to make it work. My dad has his passion of basketball. He's going to find time to make it work. And, but so they were both early birds and it's funny because even on the weekends, we would not sleep past 6:15. My mom was an early bird. She probably woke up naturally around 5, which I thought was crazy at the time. But now I understand because my body will not let me sleep past 4:30 a.m.
Wow.
And so she was up at 5:45 vacuuming the house and stuff. So we could not sleep. She wouldn't even allow it. So it was just funny because at the time we're huffing and puffing like, oh, it's a Saturday. We can't even sleep in. But now I'm like so thankful, not that I think that people that sleep in are lazy or anything, but my most productive hours are definitely from 5 to 12. Anything after like 12, I can be productive, but my mind and my body is in like top notch. I'm fasted. I don't really like eating breakfast. So I like to stay in like my fasted zone because my brain is just like firing and my body is ready to go. And so like from 5 to 12, that's when I'm going. And so I have my gym routine where I wake up at 4:01 every single day.
4:01.
4:01. For some reason, I don't know. I didn't like 4 a.m. So I had to put the extra minute in that sleep schedule. And if I sleep past that, it's like a mental barrier. Like, I'm going to be fine if I sleep till 5 or 6 and hit the gym later. But for some reason, it's like, if I don't wake up and get my things done how I planned, then my day, I feel like it's tanked. And it's like more of a struggle to like hype myself up, like, Ryder, you're doing okay. Keep it going. You know, you can hit the gym at 8 if you have to, but whenever it's 4 and you don't have anything to do till 8, that is where I've cleared my schedule. I go to the gym, probably get there around 4:45 a.m. and I do my thing. And I know I do not have to leave the gym until 8. I don't have any priorities till then. So I kind of just have fun in there.
Girl, you have some fun. The stuff you put on Instagram, like sometimes you're doing 2 hours of that step machine, it is covered in sweat. Like the gym staff there must love and hate you at the same time. Do you clean that thing after you get off? Surely.
Oh, like, yeah.
Get a hose out, get your bloody mop and bucket. No, I'm only joking. But
yeah, I think I'm probably known as the sweaty girl at the gym. You know how like everybody, oh, he's the hoodie guy. He's always comes in wearing a hoodie. She's the whatever girl. Like, I'm definitely the sweaty stare girl. Mm-hmm. I get in there and I immediately, every single day, I start my day with an hour on the stair stepper. And it is, I am dripping and my shirt's soaked and I am completely obsessed with it. I think I probably love the stair stepper more than anybody on this earth.
I think so. You might need to bring out your own stair stepper, ride a stair
step. I know. I might need to start like a stair stepper event, like come compete and it's just a row of stair steppers.
I've never been on one of them. I definitely know what they are, like the rotating stairs. For anyone who's you know maybe never even been into a gym, which is obviously fine. But like, what is the machine? You describe it, and how many do you do in that hour? How many steps do you think?
Okay, well, the machine looks like a set of stairs, and they just rotate, and you're just constantly on this like little gerbil wheel, but it's stairs. And so for an hour, I just step up the same five rotating steps.
Wow.
And I don't know why I'm so obsessed with it. It kind of blows my mind, like, why I'm so obsessed with it. But I think it's just like, it's got the different levels. So it's like, you can never, once you get good at level five for an hour, oh, the next day you can crank it up to level six and it's a whole new world. It's a whole new challenge you get to conquer. And so now, like, I'm up on like level eight, and whenever that becomes easy, I can crank it up to another level. And yeah. I guess I just like it because like it's an endless challenge.
Seems like it. So you did 2 hours, I think, the other day as well. All of a sudden you're just like, I lost track of time. I did 2 hours. You must be like just in the zone. I don't know if you're listening to podcasts at the time or music or just like chatting away with people. But you know, you mentioned the sort of the mentality of, yeah, maybe waking up later, like 6 a.m., I'm pretty sure you'd even still acknowledge, is still early, but it's all comparative, right, in terms of what you've grown up with.
It's all comparative.
Yeah, your mum's, you know, being up, doing that, that's how you've lived. I know for me, like it's 6:30 here now, the sun's been up maybe for half an hour, so it's probably still dark at 6. It's almost always dark at 4 a.m., but you're up before people. Before most people, I feel like that's just a great way to start the day. It's just like you win the morning, you win the day. It's a cliche, but it's so true. And I definitely agree. Like when I maybe sometimes sleep till 7:30, 8 a.m. these days, I'm just like, I haven't wasted the day, but it's just like, shit, like playing catch up. Now I got to get my workout in. And by the time you get all of that, then it's like midday once you've like done the basic things you need to do to win each and every day.
Yeah. And like you said, comparative, and like there's definitely a momentum because like you get in such a cycle and routine with your training and stuff that it can seem very daunting for someone looking in. Like if I was just an average Joe and I took a look at Ren's mileage each week or whatever, it's probably extremely daunting to even consider being able to accomplish that or even consider having that type of training. But when you start going, and it's like, I started waking up at 5 and I'd go and I'd do the stair stepper for 30 minutes. And when you do that for 2 weeks, then it becomes like once I was like, so felt so accomplished to do. Then it starts to become like, okay, Ryder, you do this every single day. Like it's not a challenge anymore. So then you got to add something else. So then I would wake up at 4:30 and I do an hour on the stair stepper, and then that becomes easy. So now I'm waking up at 4 a.m. and I'm doing an hour on the stair stepper, an hour run. And then when that becomes easy, you just got to add more. So like, I understand when people probably might look in on like, I don't know if some people on Instagram see my stories of me waking up at 4 a.m. and doing all this stuff, or like you going out on your 40-mile bike rides or whatever, then it seems probably extreme. But then you start doing it And then you start your momentum and it's like, okay, I'm on day 60 of waking up every single day at this time and I'm doing this, and you add a little bit more and you add a little bit more. And then before you know it, you're like crushing your day. Like you said, you're waking up at 4 a.m. you're crushing it. And you know, you could have been that person that's still sleeping in at 8 a.m. because it seemed like too much or too daunting. But when you take the little baby steps, and then you start waking up a little bit earlier, doing a little bit more, before you know it, then you're a freaking beast, basically.
You are a freaking beast, Ryder. It's awesome.
You are, Red.
Your mentality then, like, is it more just competing against yourself in terms of, like, you saying you accomplished 30 minutes on the stair stepper, then it's like, what can I add to this to make it harder? Is it something that you feel has developed over the years against yourself, or like, yeah, where do you think that came from ultimately?
To begin with, I'm not really sure. I think it was just my family was active, so I was active. But then as soon as I like became passionate in running and I got that injury, and then having to be forced to live like a sedentary lifestyle and not have something I'm training for, then I kind of saw how lucky we are to have the capabilities to go out and train and go out and sweat and do your thing. And like, how you don't know how good it feels to go sweat on a stair stepper until you kind of get it taken away from you and you no longer can do it. And you're like, I am never taking that for granted again. I'm going to wake up with a smile on my face at 4 a.m. and I'm going to go run to my death 15 miles or whatever, just because I can do it. Like, I think that as much as I didn't like being like in this like little depressed time of my life, I definitely, it motivates me now because I know what lifestyle is like. You know, whenever you're depressed and you're injured, you know what it's like to have nothing you're training for, not be able to do it. You're not able-bodied, like, so that kind of motivates me now. But there's this weird thing I've started thinking of in the past few months where I can't, for some reason, every single day, like multiple times a day, I've started thinking like, okay, Ryder, one day you're going to be 80 and you're not going to be able to do it. And so like, I'm on the stair stepper, I'm like, man, I'm really tired today. And I'm like, Ryder, you're going to be 80 one day and you're going to wish you could go back to this exact moment and crush these last 20 minutes. And so for some reason, that's just what my mind keeps going to. I don't know why, but like, it once was, Ryder, you know what it's like to only be able to sit on a couch and go out and see people running and whatever. And that's what motivated me. And now what motivates me is one day my life is going to feel like it went by in a blink. And right now is when I have the opportunities to go out and crush it. So I might as well take advantage of each day and go out and sweat and push my body to its limits.
Amen, girl. I love that. That's a very cool way of looking at it.
What makes you, like, what motivates you, or what's your mindset on that?
Yeah, thank you. I don't know. That's a good question. And I'm, it's funny
because you put your mind to some more extreme things than me. And so there's got to be some kind of mindset, mental thing you got going on. Like, what makes you want to go out and do these ultras and put your body to such harsh tests?
Yeah, well, I haven't done an ultra yet, but I know what you mean in terms of, I guess, yeah, pushing myself. It's interesting, though. It's all, like we were saying before, comparative or arbitrary, you know, and you can look at other people and think, oh, they're doing so much. And in a lot of cases, they are. But yeah, for me, I just want to be able to be healthy and active all my life and just be able, you know, maybe when I'm 80, yeah, if I want to wake up and clear my head one morning, go for a marathon, go run a marathon and be able to do that. And I know there are 80-year-olds out there and people who are older who have done that. I'm not saying I would want to do one, you know, every day in that age, but it's sort of just like being able to live that sort of a life, I think would be, you know, for me, the way, yeah, that I want to grow old and stay active and inspire, not necessarily others all the time, but just like those around me to live a healthier life. So yeah, I'm training for life. Someone asked me that on the weekend, what are you training for at the moment? And I just said, I'm training for life. Like I had a swim Sunday morning, you know, it was only 20 minutes in the bay, but it was really actually my first swim since before Waco in October last year, which I haven't really done any swim training since then. And, you know, I did an Olympic distance triathlon a couple of weeks ago now. I'm doing another one in a few weeks. So it's just about always having something on the calendar that I'm working towards, which I think is just a fun way to live. So yeah, that's why I do what I do.
Yeah. And even the moments when you're not training for something, then when you start training, it makes it so much easier because you didn't go from, you know, sitting on the couch to having to do a half marathon. Mm. Like if you keep it up, then your body and your mind are ready for anything.
Totally. It's great. So I'd love to know, when you wake up at 4:01 a.m. every morning, what is your mindset like when that alarm goes off?
Okay, this is something like I definitely don't intentionally do, but I have noticed when I wake up at 4:00, there is nothing going on in my brain. I turn it completely off. There is no, because if I'm like, well, Ryder, what do you have to do today? You really don't have anything except for that meeting at 12. You don't have to be at work till this time. And then I start like being lenient and like, well, you could do this. And I try and finagle my calendar and all this stuff. And then what if I do allow myself to sleep in? And then my dad calls me and he needs help at one of his properties, because I go and help him with his work a lot. And every single time I've like kind of finagled it and been like, well, you could sleep in, it bites me in the butt because something comes up and I didn't prioritize my gym session that day. And then I didn't get to do it. And I regret it. So like now at 4 a.m., the alarm goes off and I completely just shut my brain off. I don't think, I just know I got to get my clothes on. I got to brush my teeth and I got to go to the gym. And basically until I am opening the doors to the gym, my brain is shut off and I'm not allowed to make any decisions.
That's great. Do you feel tired though when that alarm goes off? I know you, like, what time are you going to sleep as well?
Well, it's funny because I'm basically a grandma. So since time change, so in the, y'all have time change in Australia, right?
Yeah, like daylight savings.
Yeah. Okay. So it probably around, I don't know when, November time change. So it gets darker here around like 5. And in the summer, which is my favorite, it's like light until 8 p.m.
Yeah.
So as soon as time changed in November, I started going to sleep. Like my body turns off when the sun turns off.
Yeah.
So whenever the sun went down, my body gets tired and I would get in bed and I wouldn't even look at the clock. And like, I'm going to sleep at 7:00.
Mm.
And so since November, I have pretty much averaged going to sleep at 8 p.m., sometimes 7:30.
Wow.
I'm getting a good 8 to 10 hours of sleep every single night.
Phenomenal.
And I wake up at 4 a.m. and energized. I don't ever wake up groggy. Like as soon as my alarm goes off, that's when my brain is like the most fired up. I have the most energy. I'm in the best mood. I'm not one of those people that like, don't talk to me before my cup of coffee in the morning. Like,
yeah,
talk to me immediately when I wake up. Like that's when I am high vibing.
I love that. Do you even drink coffee?
I do.
It's fine if you
don't. But it's more of a treat. I don't rely on caffeine for me to get up and do stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome. So you're up 4:01. You're just not making that, you're not giving your voice, that voice that might be saying, oh, you can, you know, yeah, finagle your way out, you know, sleep in, whatever, because like your bed is comfortable. It's warm. It's, you know, you've just been there for, 7, 8, 9 hours for some people. So yeah, this was one of the things that I wanted to know, because, you know, seeing you post in front of, you know, or in your bathroom, you've got, you know, all these emojis going on everywhere. You're in your kit, you're ready to go for the morning. Uh-huh. I was like, because often when I wake up, I'm not sleeping more than 8 hours, but I go to bed typically around 10, wake up around 5, between 5 and 6 a.m. But I have this thing here. I don't know if you've read or listened to any of Jocko. Jocko Willink?
I've listened to some podcasts with him, but I've never read a book or anything like that.
Yeah, okay. So one of his books, Discipline Equals Freedom, on page 84, I'm just going to read this because I have this open like that on like next to where my alarm clock is in my bedroom. Uh-huh. And whenever I wake up, if I feel like setting the alarm for another 30 minutes of sleep, I try to read this. So it says, begin. This is where it begins. In the darkness, before the sun and the birds and the world, every day, when the alarm sounds, it is time. Rise, despite fatigue and soreness, curse the warmth of the bed, curse the comfort of the pillow, fight the temptation of weakness, get up and go. Do it quickly, without thought, do not reason with weakness, you cannot. You must only take action, get up and go.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's so funny though, like how, you know, some people are inspired by those words and stuff and like, but we all can like come to the same. I've never heard that quote before, but like just through experience and just, that's what I've concluded. That's what he's like putting in a book. I'm not saying I'm at the same level of Jocko at all.
No, you're way better. You're way better than Jocko.
We're all humans and we all, as much as we are different, we function kind of similarly. And, you know, some people need different ways of getting things done, but like he knows, like you shut your brain off, get up, you got to do what you got to do. In my experience, I know that if I don't shut my brain off, then it allows me to tweak my day and kind of give excuses. So I just got to shut it off.
Yeah.
Completely. And also, like, yeah, your bed is cozy, but you know what? If you wake up and you get up and you play some Black Eyed Peas or you play some good music, your bed might be cozy, but it sure is fun dancing to some Black Eyed Peas while you're getting ready to go crush an hour on the stair stepper. Like, it might, your pillow might be comfortable, but you know how freaking good it feels to sweat like a freaking faucet on the stair stepper while everyone's looking at you like you're insane? That feels good. I bet. I'd much rather do that than lay in my bed an extra hour.
So true. Well said. For anyone who hasn't, I think they need to give it a crack. But it's about finding the thing that's for you. Like you said, you've never read that passage in the book. It's finding that thing that is so much fun for you. Someone might not like the Black Eyed Peas, God forbid. How could you not? But you know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, find your tunes, find your morning routine, whatever that is. I feel like that's ultimately what I'm trying to do in these conversations, is just like picking from people following that interest. But finding out what works for them. I know for me, I probably couldn't go to bed at 8 or 8 p.m. every night. It just wouldn't work. And for some people, it wouldn't. So it's about finding that routine that works for you, you know, fitting that into your life. But yeah, I think, you know, getting after it every day and doing things that do challenge you is a necessity for like your mental health, really, for life.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you, I don't know what your style is in this way, but I think about that a lot, how, because I'm into, you know, some people need like that soft inner voice, like you can do it, you got this, like small victories. Some people just like to wake up and be like, don't be a bitch today, let's go to the gym, let's get done. Like some, we function different. And like, I like reading David Goggins' books. I like that harsh, I've never gone into the military. I don't have any family in the military, but like, I'm always drawn to that like harsh military type of discipline. Let's do this, let's get it done. And then people just like, I'm from the same exact parents as my sister. My sister cannot function with a harsh inner voice. She needs someone soft. She needs like encouraging little notes throughout the day and like a soft inner voice that's like, okay, you went out and you planned 7 miles today, you only did a 5k, it's fine, you did great, you put your shoes on, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
And then some people do better with, you are not going to finish at this 5k, you're going to continue doing the 7 miles, and they thrive like that. But if you try and force that other person that needs that like softer inner voice, you know, they might crumble and then they might give up running or something. Like, we all, you got to find your flow. And that's why it's like, it's hard in this health and fitness area. Well, I say it's hard, but it's also more of a blessing that there's so many people out there. But you got to find, you got to be careful who you listen to. You got to find who you like. You got to understand not everyone out there is going to be the same vibe as you. So that's why it's fun. You get to go out and you get to find the people that inspire you and motivate you, the people that have the training styles that you like and all that kind of stuff. Mm. But it's definitely, that's what I like. I get so in, this is the way that works for me. This is how I like to talk to myself inside my head. This is how it, I get up in the morning and what makes me get out of bed and stay motivated. But that might not be the case for so-and-so or my sister. So like, that's been eye-opening because I in no way think I'm better than anybody else. Mm. But there are times where like I kind of side eye if someone reveals to me they have a goal and I don't see them chase that goal. It's because I want to see them chase the goal that I like, I'm not judging them, but I am like side eyeing them because I'm like, you got the potential, you got the tools. We're all born with the same things. You can go out and crush it. If Susan over here is doing it, you can definitely do it. Why aren't you doing it? Mm. And you know, some people don't like that. Not conflict, but what's it called when you like directly come at them?
Well, it's almost just like you're giving them the criticism probably that they need to hear. It's like the real talk of the situation.
Some people don't function like that. Yeah. Like my sister would need me to be like, Tate, look, your marathon's coming up. You're a week behind schedule. Like, what do we need to do? Are your shoes okay? Are you like, she might need some more softer encouragement.
Yeah.
And then I know like it's different for girls and guys. I'm sure most guys probably like that more like harsher. Come on, dude. I know you can do this, blah, blah, blah. Mm. But some people don't function the same way as you.
Totally.
And so you got to find your flow and you can't listen to everybody and take everybody's advice because it might not be the way that gets you going.
I love that. Find your flow. I think it's a good message. You really have to, and you've got to know about yourself. That comes through action, through doing things. You mentioned Goggins there. I listened to him on the Modern Wisdom podcast, which I think you got me onto. It's a big podcast, but I'd never actually heard of it. Amazing podcast. And Goggins doesn't do many podcasts. I think he does Rogan, and then this one is always really been on. But he talks about his morning routine, and he like gets up every day and runs at least 12 miles a day, he said. And it's like an hour and a half to 2 hours every morning. Like, he's doing basically a half marathon every single day as like his ticket to start the day. Like, that's him saying, okay, like I'm stepping up to the line after he's done that run. And, you know, he's one of a kind. Obviously, I'm seeing him talk actually in Melbourne in 8 days. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, he's
David Goggins or the other guy?
David Goggins. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, sweet. I'm jealous.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to
be one of my favorite ever. Yeah.
He's a beast, and you know, he's traveling the world for a reason because he's done these things, and he's written now 2 incredible books. I'm sort of a third of the way through Never Finished, his second one. But he's a great example of, you know, the things you can overcome in life. He's gone through some hectic things, far more than I'll ever go through in terms of his abusive father and, yeah, being a Navy SEAL and these sorts of things. But it's not to say that you can't, and I'm sure he would emulate what you said. You don't think you're better than anyone, but he has this analogy of like taking souls. Like when you're out on the race, you know, you're taking someone's soul when you're running past them or when they're sticking with you, and then off you go. And you just have this like mental discipline to go and to go. It's this funny little thing. I did this tweet last week or on the weekend where I'm literally just walking down the street and there was this elderly couple, or they were older than me, maybe not elderly. They were like in their 50s or 60s or something. And they're walking down the street and we're like next to each other. And I just had to step up my pace to walk a little bit faster than them. And in my head, I'm like, why the fuck am I doing this? Like, it was so stupid. But it was just like, I've taken their soul. Like, that's what Goggins is talking about. He's obviously talking about it in an extreme sports situation. But it's just funny, like, the little mindset shifts that can help you. I know you listen to so many different podcasts. I would love to know, like, what are some of your favorites, maybe podcasts, but also just things that you've taken away from, yeah, maybe a guy like Goggins, or I know you listen to Huberman. You know, he's been on many podcasts of late. But, yeah, what are some of your favorites and favorite guests and favorite takeaways that come to mind?
My favorite podcast at the moment, my rotation is, like, Modern Wisdom, like you just mentioned. Huberman, I like School of Greatness. Mm. What else? There's another one I'm missing, like a big one. I listen to Joe Rogan sometimes, but like my major takeaways are just basically, like, especially with Huberman, like, we're all human beings and we all have been on the planet living our life, and there's like little tiny things like you can hijack inside your body. You can like decode and recode your brain. And it's like these little tiny things you can do to completely change your life. And it's just wild to think you're on the planet for 20 years. Mm. You think you would be like a specialist in being human, but you're 20 years in and you have no idea about the most simplest things that can just upgrade your life. It's just wild to me. I feel like we need a class in school that teaches on these like self-growth, self-help type of topics. Mm. Because when you start having that like self-growth and transforming into like your best self person, it changes everything about your job, career, relationships, health, what food you eat, all that kind of stuff, your hobbies. So I feel like, why are we not teaching these kind of things in school? But that's a different thing. My favorite thing about them is basically like, yeah, finding little tiny things you can do to just upgrade yourself as a human being and be more proud of yourself. So then you go out into the world and you know, like, I'm giving the earth and the people around me 100% rider today. Like, I'm showing up as my best self. And when you show up as your best self and you know you're showing up as your best self, you don't regret anything. You don't come home and like, man, I could have gave more. I could have done more. Like, you feel proud when you come home because you're like, I gave it my all. I did my all. There's not anything else I could have done today. There's not another person I could have smiled at. Like, I gave the earth what I had to give today. And now I get to go to sleep and do it again tomorrow.
Mm. Satisfaction. Hey, being able to do that.
Uh-huh.
Well said. This has been a lot of fun. I feel like we could keep talking for a long time. You know, you getting after it. I love to see it. I really think you should get into a triathlon. I think if you ever tried that sport, you mentioned riding when you were young, and it's literally in your name, rider. I think you would absolutely love triathlons.
I think I would too. And since I was a swimmer for so long, I've become passionate in running. I've never had I used to bike around for fun as a kid, but I've never had like a road bike where I go out and do like 30 miles on the road, 50 miles. I don't know what y'all do, but I have gone to cycling classes and like I've gone through my cycling class phases and become obsessed with cycling. I think it's right up my alley. I might have to just commit to it after this marathon, because I don't want to have like a slowdown period after the marathon. I'm going to put something else on my schedule. And I'm just going to keep accomplishing things. I got to, because I know what it's like to just sit on the couch and not have something. I like to be training for something. You know, I found my flow. I know that I'm thriving when my brain and my body is in a specific direction. Like, I have a goal in mind. So I might just have to do it.
You might just have to.
You might be getting some like DM questions from me, like, what bike do I need to get? What's the best training, whatever, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I love it. Well, funnily enough, of the three legs, swim, ride, run, for me, riding is the funnest. Like, I have so much fun riding my bike. You travel the furthest distance. You're moving fast. Like, sometimes birds just come in next to you and they like fly with you for a bit and then they scoot off. Like just so many like little cool things that happen that you can never film. You know, sometimes I pull out my phone and I might capture a little bit, but yeah, I think it's just a great way. I actually spoke, this is going to be episode 116, and I think it was around episode 16 of this podcast. It might be something else, but it was, the episode name was Paris Down to Turkey. And it was with a guy, Mark. I used to work with him at a bike store when I was in my early 20s. And this guy is English, super well-traveled. And his thing in life was basically he would go to a new place, get a bike, and just ride around. And that was how he would discover that city or town. Like he'd just get on a train one day with his bike, go out to Whoop Whoop, someplace he'd never been before, and then just ride around. And it sounded like such a cool way to live. He's, yeah, done all sorts. Great episode. I'll put it in the show notes for anyone who wants to listen. But I just have so much fun riding. And from what you've shared, you know, obviously with who you are, you've obviously had a lot of time in the pool. You're a great runner already. I think you, yeah, very well might just fall in love with tries if you do one day. But I'm coming, as we've chatted in the DMs on Instagram, I'm coming to do Ironman Florida in Panama City in November, which I don't think is too far from you. So I'm not saying you should put that on the calendar and train for that, because that would be huge. But I definitely think you should come down and soak up some of the atmosphere, because it is different gravy. Yeah, it's so much fun.
That's just a day trip for me. Like, I could wake up and drive 3 hours. I don't really know the exact distance, but I'm pretty sure I could get to the beach by the time you're...
By 7 a.m. once you're up at 4:01, you might have to do your stair stepper at 3.
Yeah, but, like, that's one thing I loved about swim is, like, it's just the environment and the climate of all the energy and the people cheering. And even if you aren't someone that is entered in the race and doing the race or whatever, I think everyone should experience, like, an event like that because it's just being there is already so motivating. I freaking hate watching like sports movies on TV because it gets me so pumped. I just want to go out and be there. Like I want to do it. Yeah. And so like, that's one thing. If you can't, if like a triathlon seems like too much, just find a triathlon and just go cheer for people and just get the energy of it. And like, that will motivate you to just start training.
Yeah,
but I will be there in November. If I'm not running or swimming or biking, I will be there with a poster cheering you on. I'm not even kidding. And I don't pass up an opportunity to go to the beach.
True. Like you said, going to do your marathon down there. That's awesome. Well, I look forward to seeing you there, maybe on the start line. I do have
one question.
Yeah, go ahead.
If I were to do a triathlon, would I get judged for just having a sucky bike? Could I go out with like a mountain bike and do this like Panama City thing?
I wouldn't do one on a mountain bike. I don't think you'd get judged.
I think that's
like
all I got.
Yeah, there might. There's always going to be, you know, there's probably a small percentage everywhere. 1-2% of assholes who would judge you for sure. But who cares about them, right? It's about you. But if you were riding, I think it's like 180 kilometers. I'm not sure what that is in miles, but it's maybe like, I don't know. It's over 100 miles the bike. It's maybe like 112, 114 miles. I wouldn't want to do that on a mountain bike because you're just not going to build up enough speed to, you know, get through that in a short amount of time. And I say short amount of time, it's probably going to take at least 7 hours on the bike. So you want to be able to go as fast as you can. So yeah, definitely a road bike. If you're doing a shorter triathlon, you know, you could do a mountain bike. I did one, like I said, 8-9 days ago now. There were people on mountain bikes there. I didn't judge them because everyone starts somewhere. I remember when I was in high school doing there was this thing in my state. It's called the Great Victorian Bike Ride. Imagine like the Great Alabama Bike Ride. Like you ride, you know, 50, 60 miles every day, or maybe not that much. You're, you know, 15 years old. I did it back to back in 2006, 2007. And it was so much fun. And when I crossed the finish line toward the end of the race, my dad had come to come to see us as we sort of got close, and he saw my bike was like clicking gears. Every rotation would just go like gong, gong. And he's like, Rin, is that just happened like in the last few kilometers or today? I'm like, no, it's been like that the entire ride. What are you talking about? And he's like, you're kidding. And like my bike was just a piece of shit and it was horrendous, but I didn't even know any better. Just like you were talking about with the running, like you didn't know any better, but you just loved it. I just loved it. I didn't care. People probably were laughing at me. I was oblivious to it because I was just there having such a great time. But yeah, that's always to say, you can always be on better tech. My bike now, I've had it for 8 years. I bought it secondhand at the bike store that I worked at with that guy, Mark, that I mentioned. I could be on a better bike. You can spend $10,000 on road bikes, but I'm not into that at this moment in time. But I would recommend if you did want to do the full Ironman, definitely get a road bike, but you don't have to spend huge amounts of money on it. You could probably find something on Facebook Marketplace secondhand that someone just doesn't use anymore, you know?
We got humble beginnings over here.
Humble beginnings, girl, but we're just getting started. It's going to be fun. Oh, yeah. Ryder, this has been so much fun. I would love to know, you're 25, you've got this marathon on the calendar. We haven't really talked much about what you do work-wise, but I know you mentioned, you know, a few things. There was something that happened off camera before where you had someone knock at your door for some massage services that you help people with, you know, who are maybe recovering from events, things like that. So I would love to know, like, what are you working on in terms of your future? Say you're 25. What's life look like for you? What are you trying to create and put out into this universe outside of maybe what you put on social media? Anything you'd care to share?
Are you specifically asking like fitness goals wise or just broadly everything?
Broadly, but whatever comes to mind. Obviously, we've had a somewhat fitness oriented conversation.
Yeah, I don't have any desire. I mean, I'm not driven career wise. I've never been somebody that really like, I'm so passionate about just accomplishments of like how much I can go out and sweat that day, what I can do. I feel take more pride in like going out and putting my body to the test rather than like seeing a career ladder I can climb or whatever. Not that that is, you can compare the two. Like I'm not saying one's better than the other, but in my life, I don't have any desire of like becoming as rich as possible. I could be broke as crap, but I'm still going to be like putting my mind to races, marathons. I want to not want, because I'm going to make it happen, but I'm going to sign up for after I've accomplished my marathon, maybe gotten to triathlons. My number one goal is to complete an ultra.
Mm.
I don't know what it's going to be, where it's going to be, whatever. But I know that that is a challenge that I'm eventually going to undertake, basically, because that's just the vibe I'm going at. Like it's an alignment of how I like to train, what I like to do, which is cardio, endurance. I like to see how far I can push myself. And it's like some people are more driven towards how strong they can get, how much they can lift. I don't care about that. I want to see like how many miles I can log, what I can do, like what I can make my body go to, like that kind of thing. So definitely ultras probably my goal. I don't know where you go after that. I guess after I accomplish an ultra, I'll do a longer ultra. I don't really know, but
that's do an ultra on the stair stepper or something.
Yeah. 100 miles on the stair stepper. Oh, bless.
Girl, that's great. I love it. And I'm sure when you're training for that or once you do that, you know, more goals come to life. I'm reading this book at the moment and it's like, you know, there's 5 or 6 years you're like focused on something and then things change, right? And I think that's just a natural part of life. It's always nice to have a vision there, but it's obvious that those things do change over time. So
yeah,
looking forward to seeing you cross that ultra line someday. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Love it, girl. So I did want to start this podcast because I love listening to many different ones. You mentioned some of your favorites there. For me, 6-7 years ago, before I was even thinking really about doing this, I would listen to a bit of Joe Rogan, Tim Ferriss, was one that I loved and still do love. I think he's one of the best at it. And there's a few others, but the typical podcasting question that they would ask their guests who were high profile people like your David Goggins, these, you know, high performing humans, they would ask, what advice would you give to your younger self? And the typical answer was always along the same lines. And I thought, what if I asked the everyday person that, my dad, the neighbor, the girl getting after it that I, you know, met on Instagram? So I would love to know, Ryder, for you, and you're obviously 25, so I'd like to flip this question. What advice would you like to give to, say, your 75-year-old or 85-year-old self if you could project into the future?
Oh, so instead of advice for my younger self, we're doing advice for my 85-year-old self?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Advice? I feel like when I'm 85, I'm going to be the one that's needing the advice from, like, you know, the wiser version of me. I'm confused by this question. I'm supposed to be giving my 85-year-old self advice?
Yeah, or like some wisdom. What would you like to say? Say if I clip this next 2 minutes and in 60 years, it's going to magically appear in your email inbox or whatever apps we're using to communicate. Maybe it'll just pop into your head by then.
Okay. I think I would want to just like send myself some relief, like, Ryder, you did wake up, you did go to the gym, you gave your all every single day. Like, don't regret anything, don't wish that you could have gave more, like, because that is a thought in my head constantly, is what more can I give when I'm 80 years old? I'm gonna wish I was doing more. And I just want my 85-year-old self to know, like, girl, you were giving it all and you had that in the back of your head constantly. And what you did was what you could have done, because I mean, every single day that's in the back of my head and I give everything that I possibly can. And I'm happy too, because like some people are forcing themselves to go to the gym and do this, and I don't know if they're happy or not, but like, there is nothing in my life that I regret. Like, I am happy with who I am, what I do every day. I'm completely satisfied with my lifestyle and my daily habits. There's like things that I like definitely know I can upgrade and fix, and I can eat healthier and I can do a little bit more when my gym routine like gets a little easy, but I'm happy about all of it. And I think that would give me a lot of relief when I'm 85, if I were to hear that and been like, you lived through your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, you were happy, you gave your all. That's all you can really ask for when you're 85.
Amen. I love it. Well, thank you. Very well said. I would love for you to maybe let people know where they can find you. You've got your Instagram, which I can put in the show notes. But yeah, where can people get in touch if they would like to?
That's it.
Instagram.
Instagram, Coconut Ryder. Do not contact me anywhere else. I will not see it or respond to it, because I'm awful at communication unless it's through that app. It's just how I am. Like, that's where I am, other than present, unless you come to Prattville, Alabama. That's where I'm going to be.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you might like to share? Any final thoughts that I maybe haven't prompted with a question before we go?
No, but we might have to do a podcast, you know, in a year or two, whenever you've gotten some more maybe triathlons under your belt and some maybe gone after an ultra. I got some marathons under my belt. I'd love to chat to see like where we went from there and what we learned. Of course, we're going to keep up with each other on Instagram. But yeah, I think we should do another one when I've actually like walk the walk instead of just talking the talk.
Oh, girl, you walk.
Under my belt.
You walk plenty already, but no, I'm looking forward to talking more about that. Absolutely. We should definitely do that maybe in a few years. Ryder, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
No problem. I'm glad to be here with you, Ren.
And there it is, another episode of the Hope Initiative. Thank you so much to Ryder. I'm looking forward to meeting at some point and seeing how you go with that marathon in May, an ultra marathon that is at some point going to get on your calendar. And yeah, I have no doubt you're going to crush it, girl. As always, thank you all for listening. If you would like to share this conversation with a family member or friend, I would love for you to do so. You can check the podcast out as well on Instagram. And yeah, connect, subscribe wherever you listen, all of that jazz. And as always, keep creating your life and all the very best.